Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Teek, we promoted him before. John Morosi is with us, MLB Network Baseball Insider. We got a lot of questions. I'm sure John's head is already spinning. And it's going to be crazy these next week or two where everybody digs in and postures and gets out their side of the story. So let's disseminate what's going to be real and what's going to be nonsense. John, welcome back, buddy. How you been, man?
Brandon, Tiki, great to be back with you. Hope you and your families are doing great. And thanks for having me on the show today. Really appreciate it.
No, it's a pleasure. We wanted some information. We know that you bring that and safety back to you and yours as well. All right. Two things really stood out. The wording of Tony Clark's press release, that was expected. What was not expected, and I'm sure you saw this this morning with Mark Teixeira, who basically said, I wouldn't listen to the union. I would break the code, and I would go against what they're saying right now. Granted, he's not a player, so he doesn't have to actually put those words into action. But do you believe that any players, a minority, a majority, subscribe to what Tex was dishing? That was some pretty heavy stuff this morning.
Well, I do think that there is a range of opinion among players right now in the league about what they want to do, what the best decision is for everyone's individual family. Obviously, as we heard Sean Doolittle voice yesterday as well, and he's one of the most thoughtful people in baseball, families that have members with pre-existing conditions that could make them more susceptible to complications of COVID-19, there's just such a diversity of economic need of a player who has a $30 million salary waiting for him in 2020, of course, he'll want to make that salary if at all possible, or at least a portion of it, whereas then the player that's going to make the minimum, perhaps there's even greater desperation involved in that player's financial future, even though it's less money at stake. So it's just such a nuanced decision for everyone, and then there's so many different personal risk tolerances that are part of that conversation. But what I do think is this, that at the end of the day, a majority of players, if they're told that the circumstances are safe, that they will want to play. And I also believe that, yes, there are going to be strong statements on both sides and economic arguments to be made because, as you both know, that's a function of bargaining in pro sports, and that's what happens. So every labor agreement that the three of us have watched unfold in the course of our lifetimes in sports has involved statements like that, so we should not be surprised. Yeah. And I just really think, guys, that because of what baseball represents in our country and also the potential of the moment for the game to serve a real national role and also to reclaim some of its cultural importance, I just think there is so much at stake for the sport and the people in it that at the end of the day there will be an agreement, and that a majority, if not necessarily everybody, and maybe you would not get everybody, and that's okay because everybody should be able to make their own decision, but I think at the end of the day there will be an agreement between MLB and the union to play this season.
Yeah, one okay. of the things that we've been chatting about and noodling back and forth, John, is the idea that the owners, with this 50-50 revenue split, which is essentially a salary cap, would want to continue that. And obviously the negotiation begins for the new CBA in 2021. What's the thought process from owners, from an owner's standpoint, regarding that?
Well, it's a really key question, Tiki. And I would say this. We have never really seen baseball, and it's unique among pro sports in our country in this way, we have never really seen the owners or the commissioner up at the dais at a press conference that I can recall covering in my career around baseball making the case for a salary cap. It's never been something that they have really pushed for. And they're unique in that respect in our country. They're the only league that still has not gone to that point. And I think that this year, just because of the tremendous amount of risk, financial risk, health risk, that's involved in all of this, and also the uncertainty as to just how much of a season we can complete. Bear in mind that while you might be able to play 82 regular season games, we all know that the biggest windfall in baseball is always the playoffs. Well, that's also the time of year, the fall, that the public health experts say that we should be most concerned about a second spike in cases. So you're not even promised, depending on what the public health circumstances are around our country by that time, you're not even really promised that you're going to get the biggest windfall at the end of the day. So it really, to me, is incumbent on the players, and I think the owners, just to realize just how much they have to be partners for this year especially. And then if part of that has to be that the owner's saying, listen, we will make this agreement now in exchange for not imposing or even asking for a cap in future negotiations, I think that's a very fair compromise if that's how it comes out, because both sides have to realize, Tiki, I believe strongly in Brandon, that the money to be made for baseball is not in 2020. It's in 2021, 22, mm-hmm. 23, and beyond. If you do things right this year, if you do them safely and appropriately and with the right amount of sensitivity and empathy all the way around, you've got a chance to have a really special and unique year for your sport that will, I believe, endear itself to the American public for years to come, and that the opposite, the inverse, is probably true as well.
I agree. I think that's very well stated. That's John Morosi, Insider MLB Network, with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Now, listen, a lot of these things they're going to be forced to do. The truncated season.
Mm-hmm.
The regional, well, I don't know if you're forced to do the regional aspect, but it's probably the pretty prudent thing to try to cut down as much travel as possible. So they're kind of led in that direction. I guess where I'm going, John, and I've communicated this since day one, this is a laboratory of experiment for Major League Baseball to modernize the game and inject, and I love it, but it's got to tweak some things, I admit that, to inject this into a younger generation and generations to come. Do you trust leadership within Major League Baseball to be innovative, to not be risk-averse and married to these old antiquated concepts? Are they ready to take a big swing for the fence and try to knock this out of the park?
I think they are, because in the midst of crisis, and obviously that's what we've got right here as a country and as a world, you have to understand that there are opportunities to think creatively and intentionally about who you are and what you can be in ways that we can all improve. We're all doing this in small ways in our own lives, and baseball should look at it in much the same way, and I believe they are doing that. And that could certainly involve, as we're seeing right now in this week, the proposal for a universal DH. I think that's a good change in general, and certainly for this year. The union has always been generally open-minded to that, because DHs typically are veteran players who earn good salaries, and that helps the union overall in that respect. There have been so many changes going on, whether it's automated strike zone, three-batter minimum. The automated strike zone, of course, was not intended to be put into play for 2020, but it may well be, depending on how things play out here. Tighter geographic divisions, I think, makes a lot of sense. And also, guys, the somewhat curious thing is that if you had talked to me a year ago, I would have said that as we look at the 2020s as a decade, that by the end of it, we'll have a 32-team major league. We will have probably the washing away of league identities, and you'll have a universal DH. And as a result of that, you'll have the expansion to maybe cities like a Nashville or a Portland or a Montreal, wherever it is. But you'll tighten up your divisions geographically so that the Padres and the Angels and the Dodgers are all in the same division, and the Yankees and the Mets are in the same division. And that's not exactly what's happening right now, but there are some threads of that are occurring here. And I think it will, as you think about expanded playoffs, seven teams making it in each league. It's not as many teams as make it in the NBA and the NHL, so you're still, I think, preserving that competitive integrity of the regular season. That's a good change. It's more exciting for the fans, and you're giving hope and faith to more markets and more fan bases that are on the bubble for the playoffs. So there are so many things here that baseball is talking about that I believe will be manifestly good for the sport for the next 5 to 10 years, But it's all predicated, of course, number one, on getting an agreement on salaries for right now, and also still adhering to whatever the public health guidance is coming forward. Because MLB and the union may work so hard on this for 2 weeks and reach a great agreement. But if next month the public health situation deteriorates, they have to have, I believe, the judgment, and I think they will, by the way, to say, listen, we have to maybe walk away from it or make a further change to the plan, because the biggest reality here is the reality that we all have as citizens to make sure that we're doing our very best to really try to defeat COVID-19.
Yeah, John, one last question for you before we let you go. I read an article the other day, and I didn't know if I realized this until I read it, that there's a handful, if not more than, of MLB players with pre-existing conditions. David Dahl was one that was mentioned, of the Colorado Rockies, who had a spleen removed. There's a bunch of guys that have type 1 diabetes. And you're starting to see some speculation that, and I forget who said this, but one of the players said, well, what if we want to opt out? Are we going to see a lot of that? Because they could be at serious risk.
It could be. And certainly for families that are expecting a new baby during the course of the year, that's also a factor depending on how stringent the quarantine situation is. I think we will probably see several players opt out, and frankly, there should make the people involved should make sure that they have an appropriate financial compensation for them, and it's almost an employment insurance situation in that respect, mm-hmm. where it's for a very legitimate reason, for health and for concern of your own well-being and the potential of long-term health ramifications that we've read and heard about that are associated with COVID-19 and the novel coronavirus. I think it's just so important that everybody involved realize that if you have to, in your own way, take care of yourself or your family and not play your sport this year, that has to be accepted and empathized with and, frankly, applauded, because that's your number one job as a citizen. And we've thought a lot about citizenship in general right now. Think about this. Ted Williams missed 3 years to serve our country in World War II, also additional time that he missed to fight in the Korean War as well. It's a different circumstance, obviously, in our world then to now, but the principles, some of the principles are the same, which is you have an obligation, a greater obligation to your country and to be a citizen and to be a family member, and I think that's what this is about. So if we think about that the right way, Tiki, I think we will see players that step aside, and when it's for the right reasons, and of course it is in this circumstance, they should be applauded and empowered for doing that, and that the powers that be, both union and MLB, should support them financially for doing so.
Yeah, John, 100%, I actually had a quick one before I let you go, only about 30 seconds. So in 10 years, you are Commissioner Morosi, all right?
That's quite a thought, but...
What is the perfect, what is the optimal amount of games? Where do you think we are in 10 years, games per season?
I think you could trim it a little bit to add in a little bit more time off from a travel standpoint. So maybe you trim it back to 154, but then expand the playoffs even more. And if you do things, Commissioner Manfred has talked about this, when you have 32 teams and you can split things up into 8 divisions of 4 teams, the scheduling becomes a lot easier. You get a lot more creative with maybe unique site games domestically, internationally. So I would say you cut it down by 8 games, and then you build out the playoffs, and you have a little more. Maybe you play the World Baseball Classic in the middle of the season, some really interesting international things. That's the hope. Of course, it sounds like a dream right now when you think about travel in our country right now and around the world. But by 2030, my friends, that's what I hope. That's what I really hope that we're talking about.
Interesting. I said 150. 154 is not too bad either. All right, listen, really good stuff there, John. MLB Network, Baseball Insider. John, we appreciate it, buddy. Thank you for hopping on, man.
Thank you, John.
Brandon,
stay safe.
Tiki, love the conversation. All the best to you and your families. And just thanks so much for keeping the great show going and for having me on the other day. Really appreciate it.
Now, listen, you added to it. We wouldn't have you if you weren't good. Thank you, John. You
thanks
got
so
it,
much.
Man.
Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.